Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good day, good week, good month, good year. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm here with you for another episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love, and I believe all lesser values simply devolve into, slide to the rabbit hole of, and evaporate into BS. B as in bait, S as in switch. And you could possibly apply other names to B and S, but whatever it is, it ain't love. Love doesn't need to BS. Love doesn't need to manipulate. Love doesn't need to control. Love is a power all by itself without the need for the extraneous luxuries, if you will, kind of the fake luxuries of human manipulation. Love conquers. Love rises. Love settles. Love creates peace where there might not otherwise be peace. And so I'm here every week to talk to you about the pilgrimage, the marathon, the climb, the journey, the hike, the run, whatever else applies to that. I'm here to talk to you about love. I am determined to keep my focus right there so that I can help you understand, help myself understand, really, that love has been trivialized. Love has been treated as if it was something we just all do naturally. There's nothing we really got to pull out of our mind or our thinking or meditation. Love really just is a natural thing, and I disagree. First of all, yes, there's a natural root, but after the natural root takes place in our life, we've got to be people of some degree of study, application, commitment, purpose, whatever else takes us toward love and away from other behaviors, creates a love culture. It creates a love society. It creates a love in a home, in a business, in an enterprise of any description. So I'm convinced that somebody, and that might as well be me, somebody needs to come along and just keep talking about love to give it some traction beyond the trivial. Now, to that end, every time I come here on the No BS Bishop, I lead you in what I call the Love's Creed. It's something I wrote just about a decade ago, and it's something that just continues to hold sway with me, and I trust that it is for you in some form. If you'd like a copy of this, which I'll give in a moment, if you'd like a copy of it, you could write me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's randydeanministries, all one word, lowercase, @gmail.com. Be happy to send you a copy of it. And I promise not to bait and switch you. I promise not to BS you. If you email me, I'm not developing some kind of marketing email list. I would only involve you in any kind of contact by email if you so desire and request it. Otherwise, just the one contact is enough, and I'll get you Love's Creed. Now, I'll give it to you in total for purposes of giving you the familiarity with it. If you've been here before, you know where I'm going. But if not, if this is the first time, listen carefully as I give it in total. Then I'll come back and I'll break it up like I would at a marriage altar for a bride and groom. I'll give it to you as a vows and little short bursts and have you repeat after me. But before we get there, here it is, Love's Creed in total. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I am not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. A creed is something we do in churches, right? Or in other places of faith. We do it as a means of hearing ourselves say the truth that we want to join ourselves to. Hearing our own voice be as it were, a verbal signature on a contract. It's important for your ears to hear you say what you believe. I believe in love, and I think it's important for your ears to hear you say, I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate, and so forth. So that's why I do the Love's Creed. That's why I offer it to you. Now, let me give it to you in short bursts, as I would wedding vows at a marriage altar. Here we go. You repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. So there you have it. And once again, if you'd like a copy of that, send me an email, randydeanministries@gmail.com, all lowercase, all one word, Randy Dean Ministries, and I'd be happy to send that to you. Today, I want to speak a bit more intimately, I suppose, less academically, more from a pure feelings point of view. See, I believe in feelings. I just don't want to live my life driven by feelings. However, when I do have feelings that are passionate and powerful, I yield to them. If I'm going to cry, I'm going to cry. You know, I'm not going to suck it up and try not to cry. I think that's damaging to your soul. So I'm a crier. People who know me know I'm a sap. I can cry at the drop of a hat. And by the way, I'll drop my own hat. But I believe at times like this in our day and time here in the United States, I think it's time for some of us to just let some feelings roll out that aren't negative. Now hear that carefully. We sure know how to be mad, don't we? We know how to be angry. We know how to be demanding. We know how to put out our feelings in a "I'm right, you're wrong, now shut up and let's talk" kind of way. We've developed some bad habits as it relates to feelings. How about feelings that are rich and profound and powerful? Say, like the feelings of love. So we're in a time when there's an awful lot of gun violence. There's an awful lot of, here in Western Wisconsin, we just had two law enforcement individuals from small communities. It just touches the lives of thousands of people right under your nose. Here in Western Wisconsin, two police officers from different small communities were gunned down, and in the rainstorm of guns firing, they shot back and they were able to kill the perpetrator. All of it's sad. All of it's miserable. All of it is just, you just want to lay on the floor and cry and weep and get up and say something that means something, right? So that's why I'm here every week, alive to love. And so in the face of such tragedy, in the face of such bloodshed, whether it be these officers who just recently in our neighborhood were gunned down, or if it be the dozens of citizens all over our nation right now that are just being the target of this random violence, it demands some of us out here somewhere to connect to, stay plugged into a positive message, a message of purpose, and then go ahead and let those feelings roll out. Let those feelings be expressed. And I've got some feelings about all of this today. Those feelings for me are pretty right at my reach of my hand. So let me say to you that have joined here today, thank you for giving me a half an hour of your life and time. I promise not to wear you out. I promise not to be negative. I promise to be alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. And that's what I want to discuss with you today. In the face of these tragedies, what would be for all of us, every one of us, an appropriate response? Well, I think you can guess where I'm going to go. I'm going to go toward love, because what I firmly am convinced of is we need something that looks like a revival or revolution of love, a tenacious and exuberant, committed grasping for love in the face of all of these things, in the face of all this fear and bloodshed. What we really need is something of a spiritual revolution. And that spiritual revolution should be, could be, must be, ought to be burning in our souls in the form of L-O-V-E, capital L, love. You see, here's what I've said many times here. Love is God and God is love. Those who dwell in love dwell in God and God dwells in them. And God calls them his children. If love is your creed, if love is your life, if love is your purpose, if love is that which draws you forward in daily life, then on some level, some way, you're dwelling in God because God is love and love is God. You dwell in love, you dwell in God. And to the degree we commit our life to be alive to that love, to be alive with plans and dreams and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love, to the degree that we stay there, we are promoting a positive energy. See, energy is going to be spent by all of us, right? You're going to spend it on negativity and anger, or you're going to spend it on positivity and love. I choose the latter. I'm going to spend my energy on positivity and love. And yes, I'm still going to feel. I'm going to feel anger. I'm going to feel disappointment. But I'm not going to let the angry energy control me and move me toward anything that's positive. Because nothing comes positive out of rage or anger. All that rage and anger does is express the revenge factors that we're already seeing right now. The perpetrators of these desperately sad events, these perpetrators on some level have given in to the negative energy of anger. Wherever the anger is directed, disappointment, they're taking all of that negative energy and pouring it into a sad and bloody moment. But now here's where I want to say to all of you, you don't have to own a permit to love. You don't have to go to a store and buy love. You don't need to be licensed to love. When you wake up in the morning, just deputize yourself as an agent of love. Put your heart on your sleeve. I mean it. You know, people sometimes get fussy about our heart on the sleeve. Well, if your heart's on your sleeve as a driving force with no real purpose or connection, well, then I understand it. But if your heart's on your sleeve with love, then you are sworn in as an agent of the most positive power in the world, more positive than any bullet, more positive than any automatic weapon, more positive than any energy that some criminal might put out in the world to destroy and cause negativity. The power of love is the power of the universe because God is love. So here's why I say we need a revolution, a revival of love, a spirituality that is born in and soaked by love, that we give up the foolish notions of being right at the expense of all others. I mentioned a few moments ago that sometimes we have this idea that we should just get up and say, I'm right, you're wrong, now shut up and let's talk. See, did you hear the absurdity in what I just said? I'm right, you're wrong, now shut up, let's talk. Because at that point, we're not talking. I'm talking. It's a monologue. It's not a dialogue. And in fact, I believe in love, there ought to be more listening than talking. There ought to be more and can be more absorbing the words of another rather than my having to tell you what I think. I don't see love as listening to someone who's completely wrong as giving in to their wrong. I don't see it that way at all. But I do see love listening to somebody who may be outrageously wrong. Now, hear me carefully. They may be absolutely stone cold wrong. But if I listen, they've found a place where they can at least deposit their own feelings and thoughts without me fighting and being raging and trying to be controlling toward their whatever wrong it is they're discussing. Now, the reason I say it that way is that every one of us, on some level, we all think we're right, right? We all think we're right, and on some level we think others are wrong. So what if we backed up from that standing point right there and say, yeah, you know, I do believe what I have is right, but I also know I am not the depository of all right things. I am not the First National Bank of all things right, and all the deposits in me are not guaranteed. My deposits may be shallow, may be small, and in fact, some of my deposits may be counterfeit. So if I don't listen on some level, even to others that I consider to be wrong, if I don't listen, if I don't absorb, and listen to me carefully, if I don't love enough to shut up, if I'm not loving enough to be quiet enough to listen, then I'm in line for more from the No BS Bishop. I need to come to his classroom. I need to come to his lecture hall. I need to come to his radio broadcast twice a week on Saturdays and Sundays, and just give an ear for a half an hour and ponder and contemplate. What does love do in the middle of all of these slapping, screaming, yelling, and yes, shooting and killing? What can love do? Well, love can start something of a true spiritual renewal. A spiritual renewal that begins in small things, not large things. Never give in to the idea that you can't do a big enough thing to change the world. Because as Mother Teresa said, none of us can do big things, but we can all do small things with big love. I butchered her quote, but I like it better the way I said it. None of us can do big things, but we can all do small things with big love. I think I'm going to start using that phrase, big love, rather than just giving up on trying to love. Let's be big lovers. Love is the only way up. Love is the only way out. And it's not just love hoped for, though hope is powerful, but hope leads us to being purposed in what we are, in our footsteps. Not just love hoped for, but love done. Love done in small ways. When we see, here's an example. Just yesterday, I was standing in a grocery store line, and in front of me, after this recent tragedy here in western Wisconsin of two police officers being killed, here in front of me is a county deputy, a big, tall young man, and he was standing in his line for whatever reasons he was there. And in fact, he turned to me and said, "You go before me." I said, no, you first." He said, "No, I need to wait a minute." Well, and I just looked him in the eye and I said, "Hey, thank you for putting yourself out there for all of us." He paused, he patted his heart, and I could see he couldn't speak. It touched him in some small way. Now, I went ahead in my line, I went ahead and made my purchase, and I left. But here's my point. That one layer of a deed done is better than a deed wished for, a deed contemplated. Love done is better than love wished for. So whenever we do small things with great love, we're doing something toward the big love that all of us can contribute to. You know, there's ideas and thoughts out there about how does a breeze begin in a summer day or spring day. Some people have said maybe that breeze started with a butterfly in Brazil, South America. Maybe a butterfly flapped its wings and it was a tiny little rush of air that was pushed by that butterfly's wings. And then that little tiny brush of air got caught in an updraft from the atmosphere. And then the updraft from the atmosphere was caught by some eagles beating the air. And then that tiny butterfly brush of air went from an updraft to an eagle's wings to the upper atmosphere, and it began to carry forward. And next thing you know, perhaps a butterfly's wing flutter becomes a beautiful, glorious spring breeze here in northern Wisconsin. We don't know. Can't prove it so, can't prove it not so. But we can sure imagine, right? So what if my one comment to a sheriff's deputy, "Thank you for putting yourself out there for us," becomes a little bit of an updraft for that individual to go about their day with just a little more lift, a little more aerodynamics and his own wings. Well, then I'm going to risk that. I didn't lose anything by giving it, right? Didn't cost me a dime. It only cost me the few seconds it took to say it and to be prepared for that person to be honored, to be loved, and to feel the updraft of my commitment to them. Thomas Merton, I believe he's a Franciscan monk, said this: "The beginning of love is to let those we love be perfectly themselves, and not to twist them to fit our own image. Otherwise, we love only the reflection of ourselves we find in them." Let me read that again. Thomas Merton says, "The beginning of love is to let those we love be perfectly themselves, and not to twist them to fit our own image. Otherwise, we love only the reflection of ourself that we have found in them." To that end, we then stop the push of trying to convert or cajole, control people toward what we think is right and away from what we see in them we think is wrong. See, that's the "I'm right, you're wrong, shut up, let's listen" idea, which does not work. So how do you, just ordinary, everyday moms and dads and students and just living your life in the simplest ways, how do we address the terrible mental health challenge that the United States is facing today, and in particular as we see gun violence? What do you do? Well, I'm going to propose that one thing we all can do with our little butterfly wings is let's flutter those wings with the power of love. Let's start a breeze, a revolution, a renewal, a revival of love, a grasping for love, to lay down all of our swords of politics and our foolish determination to be right at the expense of all others, to learn to invest our intellect, our passions, and our own research into what love is, what love does, how love speaks, how love plans, and how love purposes, and how love would lay its life down for another. Because once again, love is the only way up, and love is the only way out. So, when love has an agenda, remember, that's not love. That's control. When I'm loving, my agenda is not to change anybody, control anybody, argue with anybody. When I'm loving, I'm not there to turn the conversation my way. In fact, if anything, if I'm loving, I'm learning to listen broadly, deeply, significantly. And when I disagree, hold the disagreement long enough to let the person who's speaking to me, perhaps they'll untangle what I disagree with. But also perhaps they would ask and say, "How do you feel about this? What do you think?" And then with self-control, because love is full of self-control, then with self-control I can say, "Thank you for asking. I would enjoy sharing with you more, and maybe another time, but right now let me give you this one sentence or this one comment." And don't run into that moment with, "Aha, I've got them." No, that's playing the game of chess emotionally. I'm not here to put anybody in checkmate. I'm here to love them, whoever they are, wherever they come from, whatever their opinions are. I'm here to love. So that's why I'm here every week, unpacking, teaching on, challenging you to rise with me to the beauty of love. And remembering what I've said here today, I'm here with a lot of feelings because of the current spat of violence that's going on in our nation. And I'm calling people to a spiritual renewal, a revival, a revolution of love. Because all we really need is a revolution of capital L-O-V-E, love. So every week, two of the things I close this broadcast with, are they're important to me. They're vital to me. And one is learning how to breathe. I know that sounds so elementary, so kindergartenish, but I would propose that part of our challenges in our world today is that we've been just charging forward at the expense of our emotional and mental health, and there's an awful lot of us that are just running on fumes. If we would run with the deep breath of patience and serenity, perhaps a lot of this anxiety that we're surrounded with in this world will dissipate one person at a time. So on the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can. Make sure your feet are flat on the floor. Make sure you're setting up straight as you can. Put away any distractions that are in front of you. Focus on your breath. When you breathe deep, pull it all the way down to your diaphragm, all the way to the basement of your lungs. Hold it there for a second or two, and then exhale. Okay, on the count of three, here we go. One, two, three. Inhale. And hold it. And exhale. Those simple breaths can settle you down, lower your blood pressure, calm your mind, put your thoughts on a manageable pace rather than your thoughts racing through your head. Being a person of intention and love knows how to breathe with a full commitment to be a lover no matter what comes your way. And on that note, I teach you something here every week that, yeah, it's a little weird, it's a little awkward, especially as you begin doing it, but I promise you it gets easier. Knowing how to look people in the eye and make sure it's, you know, it's something appropriate with an appropriate person in an appropriate venue. But hear me, though, I think there's far more appropriate places than there are inappropriate to practice saying the three most holy, magical, and charmed words in the human language. And those words are, I love you. Yeah, that's it. Knowing how to be a person of integrity and trustworthiness when those words are said can change the world. My wife and I practice it every day, almost every day. I'll be careful. But we when we catch ourselves hurrying through those three words, we both know to stop. Just be patient and say it intentionally. I love you. With eye contact, it can change the world. What if we imagine, can we imagine a world where those are the words that are spoken more often than I hate you, more often than shut up and listen, more often than I'm right, you're wrong? What if the words I love you began to dominate the sound waves of our culture and our time? Well, then I believe a few less bullets will sail through the air. I believe that the power of love is greater than the power of guns. I believe that the scripture says they'll beat their swords into plowshares and they will learn war no more. I believe that is the ultimate end of humankind. Not a cataclysmic, apocalyptic, bloody bath. No. I believe the end result of all our prayers, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe the end is they will beat their swords into plowshares. So let's go out to be lovers. Great or small, doesn't matter. Just simply make that your spiritual purpose, your spiritual exercise. However well you know it and however in a beginning stage you may be, just go out to love. And do something beautiful in this ugly world. Because ugly, oh baby, ugly is being done to death. Let's be the people of beauty, shall we? Let's arise and shine to the glory and to the power of love. Thank you for being with me today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, No BS Bishop. Happy trails to you all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.